Ghazi. For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljood. On Friday, September 6, protester Samar Al-Khdour was issued a warrant for her arrest after yelling at Federal Immigration Minister Mark Miller when she saw him leave his office. Al-Khdour refused the conditions of her arrest, turned herself in on Monday, and appeared in court on Tuesday. She, along with two other protesters, were arrested and charged with criminal harassment as well as mischief. Al-Khdour had been organizing regular sit-ins outside of Miller's office in Verdun since March, calling on the federal government to improve its visa program for family members of Canadian Palestinians who are still in Gaza. In January 2024, Al-Khdour's 13-year-old daughter, Jenna, who suffered from cerebral palsy and was trapped in Gaza, received the green light from the Canadian government to join her family in Quebec, 2 weeks after she died of malnutrition caused by Israel's siege on Gaza. Al-Khdour agreed to stay 50 meters away from Miller and his staff and to refrain from speaking publicly about the case. However, she said she will continue to demonstrate outside his office. On Thursday, September 12, Concordia and McGill students rallied in front of McGill's Arts Building, calling on both universities' administrations to divest from companies with ties to Israel. Students marched from McGill to Concordia, stopping inside the EV building first, then making their way to the Hall Building, where they formed an occupation. Protesters hung banners that said, "You repress the students, this is how we respond, long live the student intifada." The cops were called on campus as soon as protesters went up the floors. They finished off outside Hall and dispersed in pairs. On Sunday, citizens and rights group assembled outside the Jewish General Hospital to protest against Bill 96. This comes after a recent government directive that aimed to control the use of languages other than French in healthcare settings. The directive stated that only individuals with English language education certificates could communicate exclusively in English with the healthcare and social services system. This also applies to those who only spoke English with healthcare facilities prior to May 13, 2021. The backlash caused by this directive led to a new improvement. Last Thursday, Quebec's National Assembly passed a new motion affirming that Anglophones won't need the certificate to get treated in their mother tongue. That being said, the original directive will remain in force until a new one is rewritten. Protesters hope it will be dropped entirely. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Today's episode is very special and very exciting. Today, you guys will hear my interview with Will Anderson from Hotline TNT. Not only is it exciting to get to speak to artists about their music and share that with you guys, whether it's written. Well, for me, it's mostly only exclusively been written, but then to do this as a conversation and record that and then share that on the air. So today is a very, I guess, not only just super dope episode, but also just a huge milestone in my radio show hosting career, if we can call it that yet. But I'm really excited to share that conversation between Will and myself, and I'm also just excited to share that they're coming to Montreal September 30th. I cannot be more excited for a concert in my life that Hotline TNT and MJ Lenderman later in October, and also Corridor. So I think these upcoming weeks are going to be huge for Jalen, for myself. But yeah, I hope you guys really enjoy today's episode, and I hope I live up to the expectations of people who are like anticipating this interview. Please be kind, I'm not an expert yet, but I had so much fun doing it. Before I kick off the interview and finish this very convoluted intro, I'd like to play one of my favorite, honestly, Cartwheels, amazing album. I've listened to the whole thing through and through like so many times, but I'll kickstart today's episode with Protocol by Hotline TNT and then get straight into the interview. Like always, I hope you guys are having a lovely day and hope to see you guys on the 30th. I'll be rocking my socks off at Bar Le Roots.
much for joining us today. I'm Jalen, host of Northern Stage Lights on 1690 AM, and I'm here with Will Anderson from Hotline TNT. So thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to say, opening remarks?
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited to come up there and play soon. It's been a while since, I'm trying to remember when Hotline has played Montreal before. I know we have, but I don't remember the details. But I love Montreal and Canada, so I'm excited to get back up there.
Yeah, thank you. So I don't know if you remember this, but we ran into each other at the Vigo tour at the end of the European tour. And me and my friend showed up super late to the show. We were like the two people that were like, that showed up late to the show. Like we made it for one song. That was like totally our fault for
It was in Vigo?
Yeah. What? But anyways, I digress.
That's in Spain?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the last show of like your, anyways. All that to say. Oh yeah. No, it was honestly, we were super disappointed and we told each other we would make the Montreal show on time. But all that to say, how was the European tour this summer and how was it with the band?
It was great. Europe, I feel like that was our fifth time to Europe, and I feel like we're finally now, I feel like we kind of conquered it as far as like getting all the beats down and the rhythm down and kind of like knowing how to just make it work smoothly. You know, America, we've done really, I mean, not Hotline, but like all of our collective bands have done this 1,000 times in America, but North America.
Yeah,
I should say. And but Europe is just always hard. And this last one really felt like, okay, it's not as hard anymore. We get it. We can do this. We can turn a profit. We can play good shows and not lose our minds, you know. So it was great. Yeah.
And on that point, what are your expectations for the upcoming tour in North America? And like, what are some differences in between touring like overseas versus like on home turf?
Yeah, it's just easier. Always easier on home turf. Like, it's kind of hard to describe, but there's like, there's all these little things down to like, okay, we don't have to worry about like our cell phone data plan running out every day or like getting throttled because we just have our normal phone plans, you know, how to get around. It's really thrilling and exciting to tour Europe and see a different country every day, being someone who's from North America, but like that's somewhat worn off by this point as far as like, all right, I've you know, done the Euro vacation enough times for and lost all my money. So now it's kind of like we don't need to go for the thrill of it anymore. We kind of need to go like if it's, you know, going to be good for the band and not make us go broke. So having said all that, I'm very excited for the upcoming North American tour. Yeah, we're playing some bigger rooms that I've, you know, never headlined before. I'm a little nervous, but I think it's going to go well. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm really excited for the Montreal show. But anyway, so following up with the release of Cartwheels, where do you see the band going in the future? And what are your hopes for Hotline TNT, given like the huge success of like the latest album?
Yeah, we're gonna you know, eventually put out another one. It's been nonstop touring since that album came out, and you know, we still have stuff in the pipeline for shows in the Cartwheel era, but it's definitely winding down. And I think I don't want to say too much, but we're gonna take another step somewhat soon. So we'll have something new for the fans in the near future.
Awesome. And a lot online. We're not online, but I guess like generally people say, I don't know, people have been saying that Hotline TNT is very shoegazy, but in response, you said that, like, I guess like, which makes a lot of sense, you know, the term indie music, shoegaze, has been kind of conflated a bit and is now a huge umbrella term that's lost its meaning. But that's a conversation for another time, I guess. It's a very, but what would you say are like the biggest influences for Hotline TNT and how do you respond to being classified, and that's like very huge umbrella term, which it would be either shoegaze or indie, and
either one's fine. It doesn't really bother me. traditional shoegaze music, like the kind of the classics as far as like Slow Dive and whoever else gets kind of thrown as like the pioneers, is not usually something I listen to on a day-to-day basis, with the exception of My Bloody Valentine. But to me, they kind of transcend the genre and all genres. They're just kind of like just amazing songwriters and musicians and great bands. So I listen to them a lot, but yeah, they're definitely a big influence. MBV, Teenage Fan Club is another one. Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr., Yola Tango, just to list a few. Those are
all good ones.
Top of my head. Yeah.
And which one would you say? Like, you've been in bands before Hotline TNT and obviously dabbled in music before. What bands growing up really pushed you, like inspired you to like pursue music, to like say, like, this is what I want to do?
Well, just last night I went to see Weezer play their 30th anniversary of the Blue album. Those first two Weezer albums were big deal for me in high school, middle school probably. I got really into like the garage rock revival, Strokes, the White Stripes, the Hives. But I was also super, like, when I was young, I was really into new metal, like Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park. That was kind of like where it really started for me.
Yeah. And you're from New York, right? So you would have been.
I was born in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Hotline TNT is from Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah. I started Hotline in Minneapolis. And then I moved to New York like 3 years after I started it.
How's, like, my mom grew up in Wisconsin for a bit. How's, you know, being a kid there and like getting into like music in Wisconsin versus like, you know, a huge city like New York where it's like more accessible in a certain way?
Yeah, I mean, it was early internet days, so there was a little bit of exploration online, but like, I mean, I heard about music through word of mouth, CD stores, which is Best Buy for me. That's all I had to like listen to music or find new music. A lot of my early exploration was through Guitar World magazine. Every month they would send a new issue. I was subscribed and they send a new issue and they have like 6 songs to learn. And like, they had like the tabs for the songs. And that kind of coincided with like the early days of like Napster and stuff like that. So I could like search up these 6 songs and learn how to play them on guitar. Yeah, that was a big. What was the question again? Sorry, I can't remember. Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Early internet, word of mouth, older brother. My mom also bought a lot of CDs for me, like in Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, which was like an hour and a half away. And she would like, newspapers. There was a lot of like journalism, still kind of rock journalism at the time, that was still viable, which has kind of gone away, but
tell me about it. What part of Wisconsin are you from? My mom was in Madison. It's like not Hotline TNT related.
I was in Chippewa Falls, which is near Eau Claire. This is kind of, there's some famous musicians from there you've probably heard of, like Bon Iver. That whole world of music is from my neck of the woods. Madison's great too.
Yeah, we don't really think about Wisconsin when it comes to like famous musicians, but put Wisconsin on the map. Maybe Hotline TNT is putting Wisco on the map.
I still consider it more of a Minnesota band if I was going to pick one of those.
Au
cinéma public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
You're listening to CGLO Concordia's New Sound. Steve.
You, like, what does music mean to you, and what do you hope Hotline TNT conveys to its audience members?
What does music mean to me?
And that's a very large,
yeah,
convoluted, not convoluted, but, you know, very large question that can mean a lot of, the question itself can have a lot of meanings.
I mean, yeah, I was just talking about this the other day with another touring musician. It's like, you know, this lifestyle of being a touring musician is not always easy, but it's what I've definitely choosing to spend the very short amount of time that we have on this planet doing. It means a lot to me, and it's speaks to me, obviously. Whatever success or lack of success comes to me, I'm sure I would still be doing it either way, and still playing, trying to play shows as many places as possible and making them really cool experiences for everybody who comes. And that goes for the records too. You know, I want to create the records that I want to hear and play the shows that I would want to see. Yeah, I don't know. Just want to do cool stuff. That's what music is all about.
And for, yeah, with, I guess, with Cartwheels that came out, and then, like, you mentioned that there might be a third record. What is your process to make music? And which, what was the process behind Cartwheels? And is it the same process for every album, or does each song or record have its own kind of process to, from writing to recording?
The writing mostly is the same every time. Just kind of, yeah, I take a lot of breaks and kind of write songs in like 3 to 4 song batches for some reason. I find that to be like kind of a bite size sweet spot before if I try to do more, I'll get burned out. So kind of like have like a spurt of like, all right, I'm going to sit down with my guitar and play some chords and see if I can make some new. It's not easy to do new. Everything's been done, you know, but some chords that make sense together and kind of like speak to me, and like what lyrics can kind of like come from this, or melodies. I'm being vague, I guess, but I don't know. That's kind of the beginning of the process, is like just kind of having a session with myself. Sounds kind of weird, but I kind of treat it like work. Kind of have to like, all right, it's time to block off some time to work on music. And I just, yeah, like I said, 3 or 4 song batches. And then, but this time around post Cartwheel, it's like a full band process. So I'm still doing that session solo, writing the skeleton of the song, but then it's kind of brought to the group and we kind of work together to flesh things out and make a full musical piece, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, no, it's not obvious. I've tried to dabble into like music writing, and I'm like, this is so hard. Like, I don't know what to do. But yeah, no, so I admire people that can like produce beautiful pieces like Cartwheels. Like, I've been listening to the album like on repeat. I'm like, oh my god, it's like kind of mind blowing to like realize that like someone like made a whole thing like a from zero, from nothing. And it's,
yeah, I mean, I had a lot of help, but also, I mean, Cartwheel is, you know, 15 some years into my career as a songwriter. There's a lot of stuff that came before that I don't think is quite as good. I'm glad that people think that Cartwheel is the best. That's what you want, to keep getting better and better.
That's true. Oh yeah, so I guess like from there, like, so I go into like 2 different questions. This is more, I guess, like more personal and less music related, and more like, mm-hmm. How does it feel to like the pressure and like with like the success? Like, do you feel pressure? How do you deal with that? And do you see more positive from it or like negative? Like, how have you as an individual? And then you said like Cartwheels came 15 years later, so I guess you had time to like reflect on like a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I never took it seriously as a career option until Cartwheel, really. I mean, when we signed a record deal with Third Man, I didn't expect it to really change my life too much. Didn't have any goals of like, all right, you know, I'm gonna quit my day job and do this full time. That was never really in mind. That is kind of what's happened. And as I move forward, yeah, there is pressure, because I think everyone in the band is now dedicated, and like, we would love to have this be what we do for, you know, we're spending so much time, investing our bodies and our health, our relationships, everything is kind of tied to this musical project, so there is pressure to like, yeah, it's hard. It's like, yeah, you want to make it financially, not to bring it all back into economics, but it's like, we're investing this much time and resources into it, we need to survive and pay our rent. And
I mean, yeah, you can't write an album if like rent isn't paid, or if you don't have food on the table, right?
Makes it harder.
Yeah. And I guess, do you have like advice for, I guess like the music scene has changed, like is always changing. And do you have any advice for like newcomers or like up and coming bands on like how to navigate, you know, this crazy world of like music?
I mean, if I was going to give some very general advice, is try to find like-minded people and lean on each other, and don't be afraid to ask for help and give help out when you can. I'm hoping as I get older that I kind of see myself as a bit of an elder, somewhat, mm-hmm. as I'm getting into my mid-30s, or, you know, I love when I can talk about my experiences and what I wish I would have done. I mean, I don't want to give any specifics right now, because there's so many different things that could be said in navigating the touring and recording musician world lifestyle. But yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of it. I've been through it all, and not everything, but I've been through a lot. And I think it's good when people don't try to gatekeep and share their knowledge and their experience with each other, and not even old to young, people are old to new, just person to person, you know?
And so going back to Cartwheels, that song, I mean, that album is about, you know, in a way, would you agree, like heartbreak and relationships. And as someone in their mid-20s, and my best friend actually went to see you guys in Vigo, like we're, you know, both in this period where we really relate to that album. So I guess you want to talk more about like the themes of like, you know, how do you translate these like really raw emotions, which is like, I guess, love and heartbreak, and like how do you translate that into that album, and what was like that process like? And I guess talk more about that aspect of it.
For me, I mean, I don't know if this process works for everyone, but it's like, this is gonna sound kind of cheesy, but I kind of let, lyrically and musically, I kind of let the song tell me where it's going. I kind of just, it's kind of hard to like put it into words myself, but like when I start out with like, sometimes I'll start out with one line. Like I remember it, I Thought You'd Change Your Mind was the first lyric hero for that song, and just kind of like let it kind of sit in the riff. How's this melody gonna fit? Like what is the song telling me it wants? I know it sounds weird, but like just like kind of letting the lyrics kind of flow out like where it naturally makes sense, and not forcing things, is kind of what I've done to make it work, songwriting. I don't really know how it starts, but it just kind of does. You know, sit down with a guitar and either a pen and paper, literally, or your notepad and your iPhone notes or whatever, and just kind of start making sounds and see where it takes you. I mean, I'm just a reporter as far as like, yeah, putting my own experiences into the songs. Like, oh, these are things I felt, these are things I've been through. I don't know, I'm gonna write it down.
And how does it feel, I guess, to like share, you know, these like raw emotions on like on like an album that like, and knowing that like X amount of people are listening to it and are like kind of like tuned into like your, what like your heart and what your mind is telling you?
I don't think about it too much, but when I hear someone like you talk about it out loud, it's like, I take it as, that's cool. I don't take it as like a flattering thing necessarily. It's just like, if it's resonating with you, that's great. It means a lot to me. But I don't want to make people think that I'm writing stuff because I think, oh, this is what's going to resonate with people. I mean, that's kind of a bonus. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I'm not so egotistical to think that, like, oh, this album's going to help people get through something. You know, it's like, I think it's just natural, like any kind of artistic output. It's like, it's hard to say what's good, what's bad, what's meaningful, what's, you know, pop song, bubblegum pop can be kind of meaningless, I guess, or meaningful, but if it hits, that's great. And I'm happy to hear that. And it's cool. I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess, do you have, like, I guess since, like, if knowing that your song in that Hotline TNT has to varying degrees impacted people and, like, resonates with people, do you have, like, any advice for people listening to, like, how to deal with, like, the things that you've talked in your album?
Right. The only thing that works for me is talking about it, whether that's talking to your friends or talking through your music and writing songs about it or talking to a therapist. And all those things are tools in my toolbox for when I have gone through heartbreak. And that's been great for me. So that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Physical exercise. I don't know.
Yeah. So is Cartwheels very much like a album about heartbreak? Would you say? How do you, or about like the ups and downs of a relationship, or is it very much like the end of a relationship?
Not all of it is about an end. Some of it, there's some love songs. There's some songs that are not about romance at all. There's a lot of stuff about like friendship and family relationships. So relationships, capital R, you know, is kind of what ties it all together. But I think a lot of people think it's all about like, yeah, this is a heartbreak album. And yeah, a lot of it is, but not all of it. So
do you want to like navigate, like, I guess, like talk the listeners through like which songs are, I mean, just like, yeah, navigate it a bit more and like why it's not purely about a heartbreak and I guess like different varying types of relationships and what drove you to that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my songs actually are about my family, which my family dynamic is probably, it's weird. It's probably less unusual than we all individually think. Like my family dynamic is like, there's not a lot of drama in my family, but there's also, it's not a very like tight knit, I wouldn't say. Like I have good solid relationships with my parents separately and other people in my family, but like it's not like we have huge family reunions and keep in touch all the time. And I don't know if they'll ever hear this, but I don't think they'd be surprised to hear me say that like I feel like we're kind of alienated from each other, and it's kind of like hard at times to like feel the warmth of like a big cozy family that I kind of wish that I had. Not to say that I don't love them. I love my family, and you know, I miss them, and I wish I had more time with them. But anyway, some of my songs are about that. Like some of the songs are about like what it's like to have your parents split up, or what it's like to not feel close to your siblings or your cousins. You know, it's like I don't know if you want me to go into specifics about which songs are about what, but like,
I mean, yeah, if you want to, and then like I guess like pick a song, like you can take the viewers, listeners, and like one song kind of like talk about if you want to, or it's really up to you.
Yeah, I mean, actually Cartwheel, I can't think of all the songs. The song that's coming to me right now is from the last album, Slider, which is about one. Thanks. It's about my dad and my relationship with him and how things have been going, like, you know, when my parents split up and how that kind of changed our family dynamic forever. And even though I was an older person to go through that, like, you know, it's not like going through divorce when you're a little kid. That's a very different experience. Going through it as a, you know, I was in my late 20s when that happened. It still changed our family forever. And, you know, I dealt with it as much as I could on the ground in person with my family members, but certain stuff you just got to write songs about and, make art about it. And it's just kind of, it helped me through the process a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I get, yeah, it's when you think about it, like different types of relationships, like friendships, family, and romantic relationships aren't just like isolated things. Like they kind of like all interconnect. And I guess Cartwheel, I don't know if you would agree, encapsulates kind of an individual's journey through navigating different types of relationships. And
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, like, going through parents getting divorced is going to change the way I go through my own relationships. Probably it's going to change my outlook on romance and what I believe is possible, or makes it harder to believe it's possible. You know, it's like, it's, I don't know. I don't want to speak for anyone else. I'm just speaking for what I've experienced. But like, I know when my parents split up, it kind of changes the way I viewed love and romance. It's like, I kind of thought, these guys are together forever and this is possible.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, oh, maybe it's not possible. I mean, obviously it is, but
yeah,
it's just different, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you're young and then you're like, I guess like in your early to mid 20s, that's like a tumultuous time. And well, I'm living it through now. I'm in my like mid 20s, but like romance and like love is definitely scary, and like navigating that already is like already hard enough. And then when like different externalities come in, kind of change the trajectory of everything,
butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But there's also tons of stuff about, I mean, friendships and having falling outs with friends. There's tons of songs about that on both the albums. So
in Cartwheel, which one is like the one dedicated to friendship?
I'd say BMX, Stump are both more based on like friendships. Trying to think. Yeah, those two jump out at me as being not non-romantic songs that are about.
Yeah. My friend that I actually went to see you guys in Spain with, I know that whole story of like missing. We thought the gig was going to start at 11 p.m. for some reason. We're like, we were eating dinner by this inside. We have time. Check social media and you guys are like on. And we like, I think it was like a 20-minute jog. We were sprinting with a full belly. And then we made it for the last song, like half of it, and then like the encore. And we were like in such disbelief that like we can mess up something that big. But anyways, all that to say, like, it's funny, like the way you talk about friendship and like relationships. And like Amanda, my best friend for life, and she's like the reason why I got into Hotline TNT. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, and like exploring friendship and then experiencing, I guess, like what you've conveyed in your album with this, like one of my loves, the love of my life. And
I mean, yeah, there's friendships. I could talk about it all day. There's a lot of deep feelings with friends that I write about often in my work.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I miss my girlfriend. It's not just that all the time, you know?
Yeah, no, it's quite funny. We were like watching you guys pack up and I think it took us a day to like process that we like missed the entire set.
Is she going to be at the Montreal show?
No, she lives in Toronto. So she's going to see you guys in Toronto.
Okay.
But we were like drinking a beer and watching you guys like pack up, and we're like, I think I couldn't talk for like a good half hour. Like it was just
I'm sorry, but
no, this is really our fault.
Feel better. You didn't miss too much. I think the Vigo show was,
it was like the last one. So I guess you guys must have been like tired.
We were tired. It was kind of like I was still getting over a sickness at the time.
Oh, okay.
Which I had suffered on the U.S. tour right before that, and lasted for like 2 or 3 months. But God. We were just at end of the rope. It was kind of a sparse show. I feel like, no offense to the Euros, but they can be very weird. The fans over
In what way? So I can avoid that.
Oh no, it's cool. It's like there's just like, we were just ready to get back to our American fans. Okay. It's like we were kind of like,
can you circle back on like the weirdness of Euro fans? I'm kind of, I just like more like to avoid that.
Oh, no, I mean, it's nothing to avoid, I don't think, but it's a lot of like, I mean, Americans don't have tact either in different ways, but like, I feel like a lot of European fans would be like, you know, we just play like a great, crazy set. I thought it went really well. They'll come up and be like, so yeah, not as good as the album, but still good.
Good job, guys.
I'm like, oh, thank you for that. And then they'll buy like, they'll like kind of give you like their notes, their full notes. Like, here's what I liked, here's what I didn't like. And now I'm going to buy all the merch. And I'm like, okay, sure. It's fine.
Yeah. If I mean, they're buying the merch, I guess they maybe feel entitled to that criticism.
Maybe. Well, all of them don't buy the merch either, though. So.
Yeah, I was like, Amanda and I were traveling for a month, and I was like, I need to save my money for the food for the rest of the trip. But
yeah,
maybe in Montreal. No, but yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. European, American. Back on the point, back to music. What is one song that you've been, I guess, like, I'll play the song for context. I'll play the song. Like, I'll ask you what song you're listening to, and then I'll, like, cue it in the show. What's, like, maybe one song right now that you're listening to right now, and then one song that you listened to growing up, and then we can...
Just any, like, song that I'm into right now?
Yeah.
I've been really into this album by William Tyler. I don't even know. I mean, I've been kind of... I have the record on my turntable right now, and it's just like I've been playing side B over and over again, so I'm just going to pick... let's see. That one. Okay. Man in a Hurry.
Cinema Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry, or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from Jontolo Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. The Cinema Public for a lively cinema.
Join us Tuesday nights at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd.
A cloud of eider down draws around me, softening the sound.
Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights at midnight right here on 1690 AM, CJLO.
Hurry, Man in a Hurry by William Tyler. It's instrumental. Nice. He's a guitarist. He's an acoustic guitar player from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nice.
And had this record for a while and liked it, but for some reason I put it on and it fits the fall mood really well. And I love it. It's great.
And yeah, now you mentioned like having like your turntable. Do you prefer digital or analog? Are you very much like heavy on that whole analog, like physical copies?
I like to when I can. It's not make or break. I listen to music in lots of different ways. But whenever possible, I love being at home and I love listening to music at home and like sitting down and taking time with it and like patiently listening to a full album is a great experience. I just went upstate with my girlfriends for a couple nights, upstate New York, and we like rented a cabin that had like a record room.
Nice. Yeah.
It was like solar powered. So we were like just no cell phones, just listening to records back to back. It was a really cool experience. But I also listen to new songs on my AirPods when I'm out for a run. And
there's like the whole thing of like especially with like cinema, that like, you know, you have like so many movies on like Netflix or whatever, but then, you know, the internet can like go away, or like they can just take that movie off of like, mm-hmm. you know, the cloud, and having the physical copy is like,
yeah,
you know, this kind of holding history and like making sure that that movie survives. So I guess it's like the same with music. And I don't know if like,
no, sometimes I'm kind of more precious with my DVDs than I am with my records, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because like when they took Home Improvement off of Disney Plus or Hulu, I was like, I gotta get the box set. And I did. I bought the box set. So I have that always. If I need to watch Home Improvement, I'm good.
Yeah, so is there a movie that you enjoy watching lately?
Movie,
TV, any type of movie, like?
I just started a show on Netflix last night, which I got about 10 minutes into before I fell asleep. Someone recommended it to me, called The Perfect Couple.
Mm.
I think it's like a trending new show. It's like all their ads right now. I don't know. I didn't really like it, but more so, I'm a video game person, so I've been spending my free screen time playing video games. I'm playing Super Mario 64, which you're in your mid-20s. I don't know if you have.
Is it like is it the one with like the console and then like the really old one?
It's
like this kind of like a box. Yeah. No, I grew up. My dad had it, and he had a bunch of like, I don't know, I was like a kid, I was like 3-4, so he had like James Bond, more violent games that, yeah, or maybe like now they wouldn't classify them as violent, but I was a kid and they terrified me. But the one game I played days on end with him would be the Mario Kart. Like I grew up on that. Kart, yeah
Mario Kart's great. I mean, I grew up playing that system all the time, and I've been kind of revisiting it recently, which is nostalgic in its own way, you know. It's like I like the games I played when I was a little kid. So
yeah, I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, I miss being a kid sometimes. I was like, just like experiencing life without the horrors in it, and just like being innocent, like the innocence of youth. And then exploring the world through my dad's eyes. And not in a weird that way, but more like he got me into music at a young age. Like I was like 9 listening to Dark Side of the Moon. I should have been on the playground. I should have been. So I just like kind of miss learning about the world, but still being a kid and like naive in some way. I don't know if like, and like Mario Kart 64 is taking me way back too.
Yeah, video games can do that. It's, I mean, obviously movies and TV and music can all do that, take you back. But like for something about video games, playing games that like you experience as a child are very nostalgic for me.
Yeah. In a different way. I guess like also for the Wii console, I'm starting to miss that. Yeah. Just like being with like my sisters at Christmas time and like whacking each other with like the remote. Well, not like on purpose. Like dance and all of that. Yeah. The power of nostalgia is scary, but also, you know, like before you're looking too, I guess.
Are you born and raised in Canada?
Yeah. So I grew up in Montreal, but my dad grew up in Toronto. And then my mom, born in Turkey, lived in the States, lived in Belgium, and then finally landed in Montreal. I mean, Sherbrooke.
You said she was in Wisconsin for a while, so I was wondering if you guys were...
No, not American. No, it would be no. The whole passport thing really pisses me off. Like my cousins have their German passport, but I don't because like my dad didn't get it, and then my mom doesn't have any of her Euro passports or American passport. So it's like that's a whole family drama. And apparently, I'm eligible for a Polish passport, and I'm not Polish. Like no, my family's Polish, so I don't know how that. Figure it out, but I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, you know, go for it and see what happens.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's a bit of tangent over there. I apologize. Right. I guess is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience? Anything? What do you look forward to most in Montreal specifically? Is there any, like, you've been here, you mentioned you were here a while ago. Restaurants or?
I'll be going to Fairmount for sure.
Fairmount Bagels. Oh, not Saint-Viateur?
Excuse me?
Not Saint-Viateur?
No. I always get them mixed up. There is one that I prefer over the other one. And I usually go to the wrong one first and I'm like, guys, no, we gotta go to the other one.
Okay. Is it the one with like the bagel that with the eyes and like the hands, like the?
I think I like the other one better.
Oh, Fairmount.
So okay, which one has like? I feel like it's just kind of like a barely any room when you walk in. It's just like a counter. That's the one I like.
Okay. Yeah.
Fairmount has more of like a space you can walk into. It's brighter.
Yeah, I haven't been to Fairmount because I've been a Saint-Viateur person my whole life.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay. I think I'm a Viator.
Yeah. No, you have to be careful who you say that around. It's like Montreal people and their bagels are very, very competitive or get really strict.
I'll be getting some bagels for sure when I go up there. Love Montreal. Hope it's a nice day weather wise.
Love Montreal in the fall. It's like my favorite season ever, or like my favorite time in Montreal to like
I lived in Vancouver for almost 10 years.
Do you want to talk about that for a bit? Like
I probably don't have time, unfortunately. But next time I will be happy to. I love Vancouver. I miss it, but part of me wishes I'd moved to Montreal for college instead, because it's an awesome town.
Did you go to college in Vancouver?
I went UBC? To UBC. Started there.
Okay.
And then I finished at Emily Carr.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, Montreal is a very special place. I didn't go to college here, but no, they're such a unique, I don't know. It's such a lovely city and like people are lucky to like come here and like experience youth here. On a final note, this is a question that my friend Amanda really wanted me to ask, and I cannot say no to my Amanda. We're both okay. This is like a tangent, but we're both going through heartbreaks, and she wanted to know what's the best way to get over a heartbreak per her favorite artist. If you have any advice for her.
I'm sorry.
For all of us.
Hear that for both.
No, no, it's life.
Physical exercise is helpful. It's hard to get started, but I'm not the best at it either. But I tend to write songs. It's a great way for me to process and kind of it doesn't always help, but it kind of helps pass the time. At least it's kind of like, it's cathartic in that way. Like, it, you know, there's all kinds of different heartbreak. I mean, I've had, you know, month-long relationships that take me a year to get over. I've had the opposite. You know, it's like we've been together for a year, and then it's like, I think it's time for us to move on, and it's no big deal. But they're all valid, in my opinion. And yeah, sometimes I just gotta talk about it over and over and over. The same thing, say the same things. Find that one friend who can listen to you yap about it. That's been helpful for me. Those are my messages,
Well, that concludes the interview with Will Anderson from Hotline TNT. Before I move on to my next segment ending today's episode, I just wanted to comment, I will not be taking any criticism about the audio on my mic. I thought I really trusted the $30 headset from Best Buy, and now I know why they sell $30 ones and $200 ones. Once I get my bread up, future interviews will be having better audio. But in the meantime, I think I kind of dig that retro sound that I forgot the name of the company, but the $30 headset provided me. In the future, maybe I will have better audio quality, but that is dependent on when I find employment. So if anyone's hiring, let me know. But beyond the point, that interview was so fun to record and so fun to prepare for. And as I've mentioned in past episodes, such things, whether it's like the interview with like Will Anderson or just being able to have my own show on CJLO, and I guess this goes for like everyone, it really takes a village. And I have, man, like, I just want to thank Aviva for helping me put this interview together, coordinating with, I guess, the band manager on the Hotline TNT side. And, like, shout out to Will for taking time out of his day to chat with me. I'm still, like, over the moon. So we'll conclude today's episode with another Hotline TNT song with I Thought You'd Change. And just a reminder that Hotline TNT will be in Montreal September 30th at Bar Le Ritz. Until then, au revoir.
tell Johnny, won't you listen to me? I have some things to say.
You're listening